The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Good evening. Oftentimes, the parsha that we read in a particular week is a very special, almost directly addressed message for us. This parsha, Parshas Yisroi, certainly has some very, very pertinent, relevant, and significant issues in terms of strengthening and raising children. I would like to try to focus on two issues. One of the issues we have mentioned before, and that's a certain level of clarity of emunah. Another issue which may be as important and possibly even more important, the issue of midos, issue of the appropriate character traits that one should hopefully instill and inspire and help to mold and develop in our children. The interplay between both is seen in a famous comment from the Alter from Slabodka, where the Torah says, Naase Odom, and Rashi brings over there that there's a Pischoim Peh. One might think that there's two Shutfim. Hashem says, Naase, let us make. Maybe there are two creators. There would be a place for someone who wished to question the existence of one God and one creator, might find support in a phrase where Hashem speaks and says, let us make, as if he has shutfim, as if he has partners in the creation. And Rashi brings the Chazal say that even though there's a room for such a basic mistake in emunah, in the basics of our hashkofa of Yahadus, it's worth allowing that mistake, because it has to teach a derech eretz. Because the Torah is teaching us that even the Borei Olam consults with others. Naase, he consulted with his palmalin shalmala, with his heavenly court, so to speak. And he says, let us, you know, it's something that we should think about. And teaching derech eretz, how even the godel, even the great, even the creator himself, takes counsel with others. And we see from here that a lesson in midos can even supersede sometimes a possible excuse for a person to make a tragic error in emunah, to think that maybe there are two creators, maybe there's a partnership going on here. But the lesson of midos tovos must be taught, I guess, almost at all costs. Just to mention for a moment about this particular midah, which is just an aside, this let us do, this taking counsel with the younger, this godel, the creator, taking counsel with his subordinates, that in itself, I think, is a tremendous lesson for parents, because oftentimes we don't realize the difference between a home where the geduilim, where the parents, dictate policy and attitudes and decisions and activities with the subordinates, with the younger ones, or in a home where there's this sense of we make communal decisions. We consult with our children. That doesn't mean that we forfeit our right, and our authority to lead the family in the proper direction, but we show that derech eretz, we show that respect, we give that validation to our children, that we take under advisement, we take under consideration their opinions as well, and even though we are the ultimate authorities and responsible ones, their opinion means something to us. However, midos is something that certainly vies in importance with the basics of emunah. I believe that this parsha has two table lessons, and by table lessons I mean things that could be spoken about at the Shabbos table to strengthen our children in a very non-threatening way. First of all, just the story of Mamad Har Sinai, reading it, you know, having read it Shabbos morning, and putting it in perspective in terms of the uniqueness of the claim. The claim, not talking about proving any claims, just the uniqueness of the claim. That, in fact, it does not exist in any religion, other than in five religions, meaning Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Sikhism, and Baha'i faith, that all say that there was once a public revelation by the Creator Himself to an entire nation, and it happened to the Jews at Sinai. That's the only claim in all of history to a public revelation to an entire nation by the Creator Himself. Now that in itself is a very, very unique claim, and the fact that no one else dared to make the claim, despite the fact that so many religions copied from Judaism that preceded most of them, and yet no one dared to ever copy this claim that there was a public revelation. All they speak about is private dreams, private revelation. One person had a communication, he shared it with others, he convinced others that God communicated with him. This in itself is just a very telling concept. This, however, this public revelation, and also the claim not only of the public revelation to the entire nation, but the claim Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hinei Anochi Bo Alecho Ba'av He'onon, I'm going to appear, Hashem says to Moshe, in the thickness of the cloud, Ba'avur Yishma Ho'om Bedabri Imoch, that the entire nation should hear when I speak to you and authorize you to be my official formal spokesman. V'gam Becho Yaminu Lo'ilam, and based on that they will believe in you forever. So not only is this unique claim of public revelation, but also the unique claim that the leader was publicly spoken to in the earshot of the entire nation, so everyone becomes prophetically competent to testify. And so they did to the next generation that they witnessed these events. But these testimonies were also written in a very special and unique way. And that is that the Aseres HaDibrois is sandwiched in between two psukim. Atem reisem, you witnessed, all the miracles, everything that I did in Egypt. And at the end of the Aseres HaDibrois, Atem reisem, you witnessed, you saw, Kimin Hashemayim Dibarti Imochem, that I spoke to you, Hashem says, from heaven. The fact that this claim was presented not as a declaration, oh, there was public revelation, there were public miracles, but a document that says to an entire nation that they witnessed these events, and that document being passed on by that entire nation to their children, that is not only the uniquest of claims in the annals of all religious history, but it is a unique system of passing on this testimony, because the first generation of eyewitnesses took a document that states that they were eyewitnesses and passes that on to their children. And since all of these parents would undoubtedly not lie to their children, and what they passed on to their children was not just a claim, not just we heard, we believe that these public events took place, but a document that says that they were eyewitnesses, and they pass on this document that states that they themselves were eyewitnesses to these miraculous events, miracles in Mitzrayim and revelation at Sinai, and they pass it on to all of their children and future generations. This in itself transforms this unique claim into one that has eyewitness testimony that was recorded for posterity and passed on to future generations. That's one lesson which, and I always end up getting excited about it and saying not as excitedly as I said it, but more of a nonchalant way, not to arouse any defense mechanisms. You know, people should want to question or fight it or resist it, but just push it as it is. Very interesting. But I think there's another issue in this parsha which is also critical. And maybe according to the Shmuis that we mentioned from the Alter von Slabodka, that if we don't deal with this parsha, the parsha of Midos, then all of the other efforts that we deal with may not succeed. And that is the mitzvah of Kibbur Av Va'Em. Now, a mitzvah of Kibbur Av V'Em is probably one of the most popular to parents and one of the least popular to some, at least, of our children. Because, you know, the parents feel this as a right and an obligation that our children have. And our children maybe feel it as a burden. And nobody likes to be burdened. But there's a very profound lesson to be learned in the mitzvah of Kibbur Av V'Em. And that lesson is to be found in the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch explains that the mitzvah of giving respect has certain very specific actions. Feeding and giving to drink and clothing and taking in and taking out. The basic needs that our parents have as they're incapable of doing it or as they need help in doing it or they're older, whatever it may be. These are the actions of respect that we are obligated, according to Torah, to give, to show, to act towards our parents. And the Sefer HaChinuch, in his approach to giving benefits and reasons for the mitzvahs, explains that this idea of so respecting our parents is a means to instill within ourselves this midah of hakoras hatoiv, the midah, the trait of character that allows us to recognize, to admit, and to express appreciation and feel appreciation rather than resentment and recoiling, to feel appreciation for the good that was done for us. And our parents brought us into this world. We owe our lives to them, having done so much for us. And by acting this special way to our parents, we develop, we instill within ourselves this midah of hakoras hatoiv. And he goes on to say, and from this, when a person instills this midah into himself, he then can come to be makir, to recognize all of the good that Hashem does for him, and everything that he has, and all of the aspects of his life. And the question is, must I have the mitzvah of Kibbur Av V'Em in order to recognize the good that Hashem does? The Chinuch doesn't say you'll have a deeper recognition. It seems that on a certain level, the recognition will only come after these acts of Kibbur Av. Why should that be? I daven every day. We sing and say the praises of Hashem. I recognize all of the blessings and benefits of life and of health and of sustenance and of every bodily function that He gives me. And we recite it daily in the tefillahs and in the tehillim and in the brochas and the psukei de zimra. And something that a person should come to recognize. It's so clear, it's so obvious, it's so blatantly real. Like, it sounds like that on a certain level, a person misses that recognition to appreciate the toivah that Hashem does for him, unless he first develops the midah of hakoras hatoiv through the acts that he does to his parents. I guess to Hashem we can't really do acts of expression of appreciation because he doesn't really need anything, so it's not a real act of helping him in appreciation or as a response to what he has done for us, because really nothing we could do for him. But a parent, we instill in ourselves through these actions the midah of hakoras hatoiv, and therefore we can come to be makir the toivas Hashem. And what I think that means for us and our children is that if we wish to develop children with the proper traits of character, character of kindness, characters of truth, characters of sensitivity, character traits of patience, character traits of love, caring, concern, giving, not to speak about traits of not hating and not hurting and not being jealous and not embarrassing and not hurting the feelings of anyone, then the method that's critical, that without it we cannot achieve despite how much we lecture and talk and maybe even the natural genetics which exist and people are born with better or worse midos. But besides all that, what is needed is acts that formulate and inculcate these midos into the nefesh of a child, into the nefesh of a person. And that means that probably from the earliest age, it isn't enough to lecture. I don't like lying. I don't like cheating. I don't like jealousy. I do like chesed. I do like rachmonis. I do like sensitivity. I do like love and kindness. It's nice. It's important. It helps. But to reach a critical level, to be really considered having acquired that midah, a person has to do actions. Actions have the greatest impact on a person's psyche, on a person's neshama, on his heart, on his soul. And this is an amazing thing. I mean, the truth of the matter is, may have mentioned it here once before, but there's a study that they did about this obsessive compulsive disorder. It's normally treated in two different fashions. One, through medication, because they say it's a brain chemistry issue of the serotonin level that's in the brain. That's a brain chemical. And two treatments of choice are, one is medication, chemistry, a chemical to interact with the serotonin level and so forth. And the other one is behavior modification. If a person's afraid to do a certain thing, then he's forced to do it. If a person can't bring himself to do, he has to do. If he insists on doing something too much, he's not allowed to do it. Actions that modify behavior. The behavior that he is compelled to do, he's going to be restrained from doing. And what they found, interestingly, the study says, is that the brain chemical, the chemistry of the brain, the serotonin level, changed equally whether you use the medication, whether you use the behavior modification. Behavior modification affects brain chemistry. Behavior modification, the chinuch tells us, affects the neshoma. The midos of a person will be impacted by the actions that he does. And therefore, what's very critical in the earliest stages of the development of our children, so they should develop the good midos, and once their midos are in place, then everything else will be easier. The emunah will be less of a challenge. There'll be less of a need or a desire to rebel, because there'll be a greater midah of hakoras hatoiv, both to the parents and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything he's done for us. And the entire nature of this child can be transformed through the development in midos that will come through, besides just the lecture and the concept and the story and the idea that's involved, but also the actions that bring about this kvius, this implantation of those midos. It's very important to encourage children from the earliest stages of life to do chesed. Chesed should be a value that's rewarded. A value that's rewarded generously, because that's the language that children understand the best. And when they get reward, they're conditioned to chesed. I want to do more chesed. And the more chesed I do, the more impact it has on my neshoma, that I become a ish, a person of chesed. I become a baal chesed. I become a master of chesed. Chesed becomes part of my nature. Same thing is truth. You know, punishment doesn't work as well as positive reinforcement. But when we catch a child owning up to something, telling the truth under difficult circumstances where they might have been embarrassed or they might have been afraid to say the truth, and they say it anyway, reward it, recognize it, laud it, praise it. Give the child something very tangible as a reward, whatever is appropriate, kifi, that age level and level of understanding. But what it does is the action is being reinforced. I'm going to do it again and again and again. And here too, pushing and forcing, or negative control, is not really going to work. Because I wonder if a person is forced to do chesed, whether that really has that impact on the neshama. Because I'm not really doing it. I'm being forced. It's as if I took someone's hand and put it in his pocket and forced him to give tzedakah. He didn't really give it. He didn't give it. He didn't give it willfully. He didn't give it. He didn't want to give it. He was forced. I don't know if that act has that. I don't know. It might, of some level, certainly not as great, has that impact of creating about tzedakah. But if our children know they give tzedakah, they're a balei tzedakah, big balei tzedakah, that have trained their little children from the earliest stages of life to have maaser money available. And when someone comes to the house and the father has to write out a check, the child also writes out a check. The father may write for $180 or $1,800, and the kid writes it for $18 or maybe even 18 cents. But the chinuch is there. The chinuch is there, the desire to give, the inspiration to give, and the acts of giving enforce and deepen this midah, the midah of chesed, the midah of tzedek. When a person is trained in shmiras haloshim, it occurred to me recently, the posuk says, nitzur, stop, l'shoyincho, stop your tongue from speaking evil, usfosecho, and your lips from speaking inappropriately, mirma. It seems that we're stopping it at the lip and tongue level. I'm biting my tongue. I'm sealing my lips. In a sense, there's an action that stops me from saying Lashon Hara. If we could create an atmosphere in our homes where when there seems to be the temptation and the in the flow of things, it sounds like a juicy piece of Lashon Hara is to be forthcoming any moment. If we could train our children to stop, we're going to stop. Yes, it's coming. The Lashon Hara is coming. It's almost out of the tongue and the lip. But no, I'm going to guard my tongue. I'm going to seal my lips. I'm going to bite my tongue. I'm not going to say it. That act of restraint is an act that makes a person a more sensitive, caring person, one who is less prone to hurt his fellow man in any which way, in any way at all. So this is constant, and there are so many other opportunities that we have to create a situation of action where that action will bring about characteristics, and those characteristics and those traits of character can make all the difference. And I think that we have to know. The Goyin writes, it's brought in the Evan Shleima at the end of a discussion of Midos, the Goyin writes, if not for Tikkun HaMidos, if not for the improvement of Midos, what's the point of this whole world? That seems to be the Tachlis. The Tachlis is Haskel V'yodeo Yisi, Ki Ashni Hashem Yisei Chesed Mishpot Utztoko Boretz, recognition of Hashem that He does kindness and justice, truth and charity in the land, in the world, and Be'ele Chofatzti, this is what I expect of you. That's really what it's all about. Chazal say, the Medrash says, that Torah mitzvahs were only given to refine, to purify, to extract the impurities from our character. And that's the whole purpose of everything. And especially when it comes to Emunah, when it comes to Emunah, the desire to be free, the desire not to be beholden, the desire not to express my sense of appreciation can lead a person to be koifer b'iker, can deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can deny Torah Misinai, can deny the most obvious and basic truths of reality. The testimony that exists can be put in front of their faces and they become blind to it because they don't want to accept the responsibility. But if they were nurtured in the midah of HaKoras HaTuv and through the actions expressed to parents, and that's very critical, but parents should probably be more careful about the father helping the children to be mechabed the mother, and the mother helping the children to be mechabed the father, rather than sitting and demanding the kibbutz for myself. And if those midas are developed, and that sense of HaKoras HaTuv is fine-tuned, then what you have over here is a situation. What you have over here is a situation where a person will know, where a child will develop the desire and the ability to express that, to feel that appreciation, not to rebel and resent it and rebel against it, and therefore the acceptance of the Yesodus of Yahadus, the Maimed Har Sinai, and the creation and all of the responsibility and the HaKoras HaTov that brings will not be such a difficult challenge for them because these midos have been developed in them. So these are some of the ideas that I think would be very, very worthwhile to bring forth from a parsha like this for our children, and in the process we could strengthen them in the basics of Emunah. and we can strengthen them in the understanding of midos, which are critical to be able to maintain the basic values and beliefs of Yahudis.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.